Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk Exits podcast, a show dedicated to the growth and success of Amazon and e-commerce brand builders. You'll learn all about how you can maximize the value of your business to achieve your ideal exit. We believe it's never too early to start thinking about your exit, and education is key. So even if your exit's not on your mind yet, we've got a seat for you. Your host, the CEO and founder of PTEX Group, Manny Hoffman, has helped hundreds of brands flourish over the past 20 years. He and his expert guests are prepared to share their stories, practical tips, and strategies for setting your e-commerce or Amazon brand up for the sale you've always dreamed of but never thought was possible.
Sometimes we might have insight even before testing, but most of the times, I would say, look, let's test. Let's try to cut down, to trim the PPC spending, and let's see how that affects your organic sales. So the point is, what a healthy practice is, you have to know that you're not overspending, and you have to make sure that you have the right tackles for your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Let's Talk Exits podcast, a show dedicated to helping Amazon and e-commerce brand builders maximize the value of their businesses to achieve the best possible exit. This week, I'm so excited to welcome Isaac Gross to the show. Isaac is the founder of IGPPC, an agency that manages over $2 billion in annual sales on Amazon. As a longtime Amazon seller, Isaac made it his mission to help others with their PPC. His deep understanding of the Amazon algorithm undoubtedly gives his clients an unfair advantage. What I loved about this interview, because Isaac gave very practical advice. As you're looking at your business, understanding your TACOs, your ACOs, product launches, and the state of PPC in general. And more importantly, is Amazon still a viable option for somebody to enter and make a lot of money? Without further ado, here is my interview. Isaac, thank you so much for joining me on the Let's Talk Exits podcast.
I'm Manny. I'm really excited to be here. I've known you for a while, seen you at many conferences. It's great to be on your podcast.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes we have to go so far out to find those great, great experts very, very close. So we've known each other. We've met at conferences. We have had joint clients using your services. And, you know, PPC is a topic that you can't get enough of. Although you speak to five different experts in PPC, everybody has a different strategy. But I'm very excited about this conversation. So for our listeners, you're currently managing over $2 billion worth of ad spend.
That's correct. Not of ad spend, no. That's an annual sales.
Annual sales. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, perfect. That's still a very, you know, big number. Where did it all start?
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. It was after I got married, a couple of years after I got married. I wasn't doing anything full time at that time. So it was in 2015. That's when the whole Amazon, I would say that's literally 2014, 2015 was the time when the whole Amazon, let's call it maybe the gold rush, but at least that's when everything started. Okay, all the courses started to come out at the time. So I heard about the Amazon private label thing, and I definitely wanted to try my hands on it. I didn't need the money. I really did it for fun. So I did some research, search online, and later as I got more into the process, I started listening to way more podcasts. We'll get to that. And 2015, I brought in a product in China, small product, and we can discuss how the whole evolution of the whole Amazon private label happened, which is extremely interesting. And I think I've seen it from the beginning. So literally the first year we brought in the product, I didn't do much. I literally did it an hour or two at night, started with a few hundred dollars. And so the way how it worked then is like this. You brought in a product, you literally slapped a logo on it, on any Shimata product. And there was a website at the time called AMZ Tracker. So what AMZ Tracker was basically like this. So you could literally in a few days send out a super URL, okay? The super URL is basically a URL which has embedded a keyword in it, okay? So let's say the keyword is garlic press. The super URL has a keyword garlic press in that.
Who sells a garlic press?
Many people, you know that. Some people make a lot of money off it. I think while they get their podcast, right? You still sell the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was the product, you know? Garlic press, and you basically sent it out to a few hundred people that bought your product for free. So what happened is like this. So first of all, within literally a few days, you had a few hundred reviews on your product. Okay, so the only thing that Amazon wanted you to do is that the reviews had to write, I got this. I can't remember the exact wording, but the point was like, I got this for free in exchange for my
honest,
unbiased review. Exactly, right.
Mm-hmm.
And even more, before you gave out the products to those people, you could see their review history. So if anybody ever left a negative review, of course, you wouldn't send the product to them. So of course, this unbiased wasn't a thing, right? So it's extremely biased reviews. So literally within a few days, you got 200 five-star reviews and you were ranked on all the keywords, on your top keywords. That's how it was back in 2015. Anyway, so I launched a couple of products. I made nice money and that was really a side thing. And at the time, I always, in a way, I enjoyed even the formation more than I enjoyed the actual selling. Like I was on every WhatsApp group, Facebook group. I listened to podcasts. Even podcasts actually weren't a thing then. I think that was also the beginning of podcasts, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And many podcasts, YouTube videos, and I really enjoyed being into it. So I've done that for a couple of years, again, part-time, not really trying. Like I made money, I invested in two stupid places and I didn't care much because it was like plain money for me. My wife was working at the time. I didn't need much money. And then I did invest in one product, a couple $100,000. We basically tried to bring in, I could say it was a backpack. We tried to mimic a certain brand, an expensive brand. And we thought if they could sell it for $500, we could sell it for $60. But of course, as it turned out, nobody really wanted the product for the product, for the design. People just wanted it for the brand name.
For the brand.
So anyway, I lost a couple $100,000 on that, in that product. It was a big product, but shipping was expensive. PPC was extremely expensive and it didn't convert. So that was at a time where I was like, okay, I need to start working full time and start making money. So I was thinking if I should open, you know, like start from fresh with an Amazon brand. In a way, I like the Amazon space a lot, but I like to deal with people. You know me, I'm an extrovert. I go to shows and I love helping people, love talking to people. So it was at a time where like literally two people in the same week, like reach out to me. I used to be active in groups. People know me. People knew that. People always call me with questions, like not for money, just what should I do about this? What's your strategy here and there? And like two people reach out to me, they say that they've been by two PPC agencies and they feel the model doesn't work for them. So the typical model of a PPC agency is they try to have as many accounts as possible, right? Either automate it with the software or having VAs in the Philippines just following SOPs and processes, right? And these people are like saying, look, I'm spending a lot of money on PPC. PPC is one of the big factors in my business. I'm willing to pay more for somebody, but I want to know that I have somebody, a US-based guy, smart. And again, I say US-based. It doesn't mean US. The point is not a virtual assistant type of person, right? It should be somebody really talented, smart, that I can talk to, and the guy should really put their heart and soul into my business, understand my market, understand what I want to accomplish, understand my keywords, understand my competition, right? There's so much on Amazon when you do PPC that you need to understand, not just the increasing or decreasing bids or being focused on equals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were like, you know PPC so well, do me a favor, manage my PPC. One of that was my uncle, my first client, he's still my client, and then his friend. So I was like, okay, you know, let me try this. And we did a phenomenal job on these two clients. They're both actually with us. It's been over 3 years. That was 2019. And as they say, the rest is history. Like my vision right from the get-go was to have an in-house team and give a quality of service that's second to none and charge a premium, deal more with established brands that we can have a long-term relationship, not somebody trying things out in the mother's basement, you know, somebody established. And yeah, right now we have over 10 account managers in the US. We have office in Israel and we have a just opening office in Mount C2.
Beautiful. So I really appreciate the backstory because I think it puts in context. And I think what I took out of what you shared is a couple of points. First of all, it's always nothing replaces the grind of actually being a seller, understanding the seller's frustration and understanding what really goes into being a seller, because PPC is a huge component, but it's only one component. Are you spending PPC and the product is not something that people are interested in. You'll spend a lot of money, burn a lot of cash, but ultimately the product, or same as with the marketing. So you've gone through that process. So that's good. I want to get into, you know, obviously you mentioned this length of being in this space. PPC has evolved a lot. It has evolved from a from what that is available and what capabilities they allow people like you, agencies or end users to do. And also in general, like the amount of brand spending on the platform. So what would you say, what is the current state of PPC?
Okay, yeah, you make a very interesting point. And I think also it's important to maybe go through a little bit the life cycle of the whole Amazon private label ecosystem so you get a better idea of where PPC is going.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the days, 2015, okay, the whole Amazon PPC game, in most groups, the talk was always, tips and tricks, or maybe better, hacks and tricks. Okay. It was all about this super URL, that super URL, this hack, this loophole, this new way of getting ranked. Nothing was around branding. Nothing was around building a brand. Nothing was around about a legitimate business. Okay. Even large channels, I made a lot of money. The whole discussion on all the groups basically was tricks, this super URL, a hack, this guru, that guru, you know, figuring out hacks, not building a legitimate empire. Okay. Not focusing on operations.
Long-term growth.
Exactly. And also, like, we used to laugh when people said we have a couple of brands, but they meant to say they have four different products and they called it a couple of brands because that's how it used to be. They brought in one product here, one product here, and they actually made money, right? But then it started to shift. It's hard to put in an exact timeline, but then Amazon started to come out and they banned this whole incentivized reviews that we discussed before, okay? I think it was literally one day or maybe a week, like half of the reviews on Amazon got wiped out, literally half. I still remember, I think it was on September, okay? I remember that day, like people were like literally on the groups were like, okay, I think we need to get out of this industry. Like people couldn't think past the tricks, past the illegitimate way how they did it, okay? And of course, people stayed in the business, right? And Amazon started to flourish even more. But people then started to have more, let's call it less black hat ways of getting reviews. It started with inserts or different ways how to capture an email, right? Which is a little bit more legitimate than having, you know, real biased reviews. Then Amazon started penalizing people for giving away products for free. So Amazon basically saw that you're giving away the product for free and they didn't count this sale as a real sale for the algorithm. So Amazon saw, I think the threshold was like over 50% sale. So because the way how people used to buy these products for free was like a 50% off coupon from Amazon. So I think the threshold was like, if the coupon was more than 50%, Amazon didn't count it as a sale and it didn't help you for the Amazon algorithm. It didn't help you for ranking. Okay. Then that's when Rebid Key came out. Okay. So Rebid Key was actually the concept of let's legitimize it, right? It's going to be real sales, full price, and it's a rebate, right? That's why they called it Rebid Key. And they also did it for Walmart, different platforms. Like, it's not an Amazon hacking. It's not an Amazon trick. It's a real rebate, right? But of course, people use it to manipulate algorithm, which that until recently, people still use Rebid Key until Amazon really hammered down and banned that. Okay. So as things became more legitimate, of course, people needed to start spending more on PPC, right? Yes. And also as the marketplace became more competitive, okay? So I still have clients. It's interesting. Like clients comment to me, they're doing 10 or 50 million in sales. And they, I want to say now, but I've had it like maybe like in the last year, like the last year that hasn't been the case, but maybe like last year, I still had people coming to me, really big accounts, and they haven't spent a dollar on PPC, okay? Their strategy was they're having good listings, decent prices, and people will buy their product. Was at the competition of less black hat tricks available, people started to rely way more on PPC. So 100% PPC used to be way more, the cost per clicks were cheaper. The tactics used to be better because a bigger percent came from organic and a smaller percent of the sales came from PPC because you didn't have to rely that much on PPC. PPC is becoming more competitive. But on the other hand, there's also way more different options available when it comes to PPC. And one of the strong components of PPC, which we could talk about later, is the strategy part of PPC, right? Which is, I would say, the most important part of PPC is not just the decreasing and increasing bids, it's also the strategy. What do you want to accomplish when you're doing this and this and this? Just having more sales? What's your end goal? You want to grow market share? You want to be profitable? What your end goal is extremely important. So the state of PPC is becoming more expensive, it's becoming tighter. New products are coming out. And it's always very important when a new product comes out, a new different ad type, you have to think to yourself.
You're like, talking about a new times, product from Amazon.
Like a new feature okay. from Amazon, right? You have to think to yourself, is this something that will bring you a positive ROI? Why do you want to do it? Just because it's a shiny object. So many times, clients don't always need to have every new single ad type because usually the more you spend, the higher your typos will be. Because the more you spend, there's always cannibalization. That the cannibalization means there's always, the more PPC sales, the more you spend, you will always feel some of the organic sales too, okay? So that means usually the more you spend, the higher your typos will be. So the point is, not every new feature that Amazon rolls out, every seller has to use. You have to think what your goal is. And again, you definitely should explore it. You should know what it is and you should make a decision if you really need it or you don't.
So going back to the current state of PPC is if somebody has, you mentioned the strategy, which is important because and I want to get to that because we want to speak about the stages of a product. Obviously, the strategy has to change. I'll get to that in a minute. But I guess it is still a vibe, meaning to say currently with where Amazon is and the maturity of the platform, you know, more and more money is being spent on PPC. However, it is a vital part. Your PPC strategy is a vital part of your success of your brand on Amazon.
Right. 100%.
So there's no way out of it. I mean, you can say, as you mentioned before, in the earlier years, there were so many tips and tricks on how to get ranked and how to do, to learn the algorithm and so on and so forth. A lot of that, those loopholes were closed. And if you want to organically build a business long-term, you got to build in the PPC strategy as part of the growth of your business.
Correct. So, and I would also add to that also just a small thing. It's not only tips and tricks. Many sellers had a strategy that instead of spending on PPC, I want to lower my prices. Okay. So they were like, let me have a really, really low price, a really good price to have an extremely good conversion rate, way better than my competitors. And a better conversion rate means better organic ranking. So that used to be, which was a legitimate strategy that used to work, but it works less and less and less. Because right now, first of all, Amazon took away a lot of the organic spots, right? Like the first page, there's literally there's only four rows of organic spots above the
fold.
Almost
like 50-50. Okay? Yeah, it's almost like 50-50. Yeah, no.
Right. So above the fold, which means before you scroll down on the computer, there's just four spots. And it's all PPC, video, editorial recommendations, stamp rated, and many other different categories have different types of placement there. So because organic visibility on the first page shrink, that's why even if you have very good prices and you rank pretty decent organically, you still need PPC for that.
Because you're just not going to be visible.
Exactly.
Got it. So I want to ask you one question and then I want to go into more in depth. So one, just a fundamental question, how you approach those. So I remember in the earlier years of PPC, everybody was speaking about the ACoS and as far as how much you're spending ACoS and so on and so forth. Eventually, they launched the TACoS. I think there is confusion out there as sellers, of course, not in the PPC agency mindset. And I want to just set the tone as far as what is the real important number to look at and what is of course, every category is different, but in what range do those numbers need to be?
Okay, so that's a great question. It's a great question and it's a loaded question. I try to answer it properly, even though I answer it every single day to people, but I will try to explain it as simple as possible. Okay.
Sure.
So first of all, yeah, it's interesting the evolution of ACoS and TACoS. And you say they launched TACoS, by the way, TACoS is an industry term that nobody, I don't know who invented the word TACoS, but Amazon doesn't tell you the word TACoS, right? It used to be ACoS. And I did have some clients at the beginning that used to say, they didn't use the word TACoS, but they were like, I don't care about my ACoS. I want to see what percent of the total sales I'm spending on PPC. But you're right. Most people didn't focus on TACoS. They focus on ACoS, right? And why TACoS is way more important is very simple. If you have a high ACoS, which is 60%, but you're convinced that this 60% ACoS brings
Sorry, just to interrupt. If you could just quickly explain the difference. So if some listeners are not familiar what the difference is and how it actually tracks different numbers.
Okay, very simple. So basically, ACoS is the ROI of just the PPC sales. So for example, if you spend, let's say, $100 on PPC and you have, let's say, $200 in PPC sales, that means an ACoS of 50%, right? That means 50% of your PPC sales, which is $200, that's how much you spent on the marketing on PPC, right? Now, TACoS, which some people translated as true ACoS, some translated as total ACoS, but TACoS means what percent of the total sales for this product is going to PPC. So let's go on this scenario. Let's say you're spending $100 on PPC, $200 on PPC sales, but you have $1,000 in total sales, which means that your TACoS is 10%, okay? And why this is more of an important number, because we'll assume that this $100 that you're spending on PPC, this is what's fueling your organic sales. This makes your rank, and this also helps you have the organic sales. So even though, let's say, your TACoS is 50%, your ACoS is 50%, which technically means you're not profitable because you spend $100 to make $200 and you have all the fees and the cost of goods. But really, you should look at it that, no, you spend $100 to make $1,000, okay? So that the TACoS, again, is, I like to call it total ACoS. TACoS is 10% of the total sales on the product or on account level, right?
Yeah, so it's very important that you're mentioning it. And I think it also will depend on where you are with the lifespan of that product. But the goal is, if the goal is you have the proper strategy, at like what percentage of sales do you want to have from PPC long-term? What percentage of sales do you want to or eventually have from organic? That's where you look at tacos, because the larger percentage of sales that come from PPC, automatically it's gonna increase your tacos. Which you also have two challenges. One is, could you afford it? And the second of all is that if somebody outbids you on PPC, all of a sudden you lose sales. So your goal needs to be that I'm fueling my PPC, regardless if I'm making money or not, but overall, how's my product doing? So, I think what that does is, I think it's important to chime in on this, is this comes in what you started before, which is Amazon is a real business now. Right. And when you're playing just the micro action, then it's good for a while, but you're losing the focus of the bigger picture.
The long term, right.
So when you're looking at ACOS, it's an important, but it's a lot depending only on the micro versus the macro of the product. So when you want to see, is this product a long-term product success? And this something is we're going to aiming towards somewhere, then the tacos number will give you much more of a macro visuals of how the product is doing in general. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tacos will also tell you if this product is profitable. Meaning to say, if you have an ACOS of 50%, if your tacos is healthy, it's nothing wrong having an ACOS of 50%. If your tacos are 50%, something is wrong, right? And you have to see what you can do in order to make it better, which I believe you asked what right tacos is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so let's get there. Yeah. So let's get to like, what is the right numbers, the average numbers that across the board, of course, each niche in each different category would have different set of numbers and each business would have some numbers.
Right.
But what is, you analyze an account, the first, you know, where would you jump out and say, wait a minute, something is terribly off?
Right. Okay. So let's start with the beginning. Okay.
Sure.
So I get this question literally every day. And those people call me, what's your average ACOS? What's your average tacos? And it's really, I can give you a number. I will give you a number, okay? But it's really an irrelevant number because every brand is different. And let's talk about tacos. And I will give you, which is one of the most asked questions, what is considered a healthy tacos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to give an analogy of a supermarket, okay? And many, you were in the marketing business, so I think you will understand and appreciate it. So let's say somebody comes to you with a simple question. Let's say, I have a supermarket. I want to do marketing. What should my budget be? Is there a way to answer this question? There's a ton of questions you have to ask back, right? The number one question is it a new supermarket or is it an established supermarket? The second question is, how big, what's going on in your market? How competitive is it? So for example, if you have a supermarket next door to your supermarket and they do a lot of marketing and they come to you and say, look, what's my budget for marketing? The competition next door, they're really biting into our sales. They keep on doing more marketing and stealing away our customers. Then it's a total different discussion. If somebody comes to you and they say, look, I'm opening up a supermarket in an island and there is no other supermarket, right? So if somebody has a supermarket, right, in a place where they're the first supermarket, you could tell them, look, honestly, I don't think that you need that many marketing, right? I think you could just open it up and do the minimum and the minimal marketing, people will come and people will buy a product, right? So the same comes to Amazon. If somebody asks you, what's my tacos? What should my tacos be? The real answer is, it depends what your goal is, depends how quick you want to grow, and it depends how competitive your category is, okay? So if, for example, let's say somebody is used to have he's used to having a tacos of, let's say, 5%, okay? Right now, yes, let's say a few new competitors come again, and they're extremely aggressive with their PPC, and he sees that he is losing sales. He can't keep on crying, say, look, I need to stay at a tacos of 5%. No, in this current climate, in this market right now, in order for you to maintain your sales, you need to have a tacos of 10%. Otherwise, the competition will eat you up and you will basically have a slow death, okay? Because you're not competing. And the same is true if somebody, let's say, launches a product, right? Or launches a business, a brand on Amazon, right? In the beginning, your tacos will be close to 100% because your conversion will be very low. You have no reviews, no organic ranking. Basically, all your sales will come from PPC and close, high cost per clicks because you have no relevancy and a very low conversion rate. So the question, what are right tacos, is really, we need to understand your business, your goals, and see what the right tacos is for you, okay? And I'll add another thing that it's hard to know before you test. So for example, which is very common by our agency, somebody, let's have a tacos of 10%, and they say, look, my margins are slim, let's try to go to a tacos of 8%, okay? Should I do it or not? And sometimes you know the clients so well that you can advise them. I think you can do it. I think you have a real benefit over your competitors. You have a good conversion rate. You have a lot of reviews. And sometimes we can tell them, look, I don't think it's a good idea because we're really struggling right now to maintain your current ranking. You have this competitor cheaper than you. The conversion rate is not the best. You know, so sometimes we might have insight even before testing. But most of the times I would say, look, let's test. Let's try to cut down, to trim the PPC spending, and let's see how that affects your organic sales. And let's say somebody has $1 million sales a month, okay? He spends $100,000 and we pull back to 80. Right now, his sales drop to even $800,000 or even 850, which for Tackleson is maybe a little bit better, but most sellers won't want that, right? Because they want to maintain their market share. They want to maintain their sales, right? So the point is, what a healthy tackles is, you have to know that you're not overspending and you have to make sure that you have the right tackles for your business. For example, we also have clients that have a tackles of literally 1% or less. Why? Because
no competition.
No competition. I can't give out two, but let's say it's a brand name, okay? They have the brand recognition and they don't need that much marketing on Amazon, okay? So the point about tackles is always be mindful. What do you want to accomplish? Do you want to grow? Your tackles will be higher. Do you have a lot of competition and you need to maintain your organic ranking with this PPC? Then at least for the time being, that's your new tackles. Be okay with it.
Hey, really quick before we continue the show. A lot of you have questions about the Amazon and e-commerce aggregated space, like how do I know when I'm ready to sell? Or how do I know how much my business is worth? Or is selling my business even the right move for me? There's so much at stake when it comes to your business. The stress can be overwhelming, but don't worry, you're not alone. Drop us a line on letstalkexits.com/questions and ask us anything you want to know or what you would like we should cover on the show. That's letstalkexits.com/questions. And now back to the show. Let me ask you two follow-up questions. And this was a great explanation. I guess my first question is, when you analyze tacos, are you going deep into per item or you would look at the healthiness of the full brand? And the follow-up question, so you could answer it at once, is what is a number that you would say this is not sustainable as a business long-term?
Okay. So 100% of the product level, the brand level, totally irrelevant. I mean, I have tons of products, one is losing money, one is making money. So on our reports, we have everything broken down on a ASIN level. You can even, if you want, you can look at it then on a parent ASIN level or even on the child ASIN level. They have beautiful detailed reports, but yes, 100% on an ASIN level. So when it's not sustainable, it's not sustainable when you don't make money. I'll give you an example. I have two clients. They have a tackles of 20%, okay? Most people wear 20%. It's insane, okay? Wow, 20%. Both of these make over $2 million profit a year, okay? So why are they at a 20% tackles? It's a very competitive category, okay? And for a reason. I mean, in a way, that's how capitalism works, right? There's big margins at a certain at a certain product, but automatically people have more money in order to spend more on ads, right? So it becomes competitive. It's simple. So they have a 20% tackles and they still make a lot of money and they don't want to ever think about going down with the tackles because they need, that's the tackles they need in order to maintain their profit margins. Then I have clients that have a tackles of 8% and they struggle to make money, okay? And they try to bring it down to lower numbers. So when it's not sustainable, simple, when you don't make money. And that's a very strong, a very important point. If you see that in order to maintain your current sales, you have to spend a certain, let's say it's 10%, you have to have a 10% tackles. If you're not profitable at a 10% tackles, you have a problem. Because if you go to a 7% tackles, your sales start to decline, right? And you don't have a business. And if you're at 10% tackles, you also don't have money, then you need to revisit,
reevaluate the
business and see, right? Maybe work on improving the product, improving the listings, the conversion rate, whatever.
Yeah. But so this is important. And I think for our listeners, and regardless if you do PPC in-house or you're using an agency, sometimes we get so ingrained in those reports. But understand that those reports are great, but really you have to understand is what could you afford? What could your business afford? And work yourself backwards from there. And I think what you just mentioned, I think is a great point.
Right. I want to add one more thing. No. So as an agency, we started demanding of many of our clients access to their profit tool, either ConnectBooks or Sellable, like whichever they use, We have access to it and we can see, okay, are you making money or not? So we don't need to get always feedback from the client and say, look, on this product, we're not making money. Because many times something with a package of 10%, they're not profitable. So when we have access to that, our ultimate goal, that's also, remember, it's so simple, but I always remind our account managers, the ultimate goal is to make money, not sales. And we could talk about it also going into the holiday season, how many people get so, they lose their focus, they just want to see the sales, the increase, they lower the prices, go extremely aggressive on PPC, and they forget about sales. They forget about profit. They only focus about the sales. Now, sometimes in sport, if you have a lot of excess inventory, you want to free it up, okay, if you have a strategy, I'm perfectly fine with that. But make sure that you focus on the bottom line. So,
So that's an important point because like you said, it has to start from there. And like I said, sometimes we get so excited about the gross numbers and all of a sudden, okay, we went aggressively on PPC and that's where all your profit went. Correct. And because you don't have the margins. So I want to move into another topic, obviously related to PPC, and which is we all know that launching new products has become hotter and hotter. And obviously PPC is a large part of how you launch a product. If you could walk us through, I know that, and I'll take you up on what we started, that you love helping people. And of course, there's a lot of listeners and love listening to this show, regardless if they do it in-house or they're speaking to their agencies, or maybe some of you are even your existing clients. The question is, walk me through a scenario. Let's say we're launching a $30, $40 product. It's the first time. Maybe we made a better mousetrap. So let's say we're not doing just a Me Too product. We know that product development needs a lot of advancement since, you know, we came a long way, you know, if you want to launch a product and have the potential of success. Walk me through what would be an advice strategy that you guys would set up.
Okay, so I both
another loaded question.
Yeah, it's a loaded question. And you can also divide it into two parts. Like one is the actual launch strategy, but the first part, even before that, which you briefly mentioned, is what type of product you're launching. But I think we'll get to that after that, right? So first, let's go right into the PPC part, okay? So every product on Amazon, right, needs two things. It needs traffic and conversion, right? PPC agencies, our job is all about the traffic, right? We need to drive you traffic. And of course, we want to drive you traffic that will potentially convert. I mean, it should be relevant traffic. Listing. That's where when you have smart people, you know, people that do the keyword research, right, that helps a lot. That it's not just downloading something from Helium 10 or automated stuff. It's somebody really putting in all their effort into the product research, keyword research, and really understanding the keywords, right? But again, ultimately, PPC is about traffic, right? Yes. Your product needs to convert. And by the way, the first thing that I look into an account, we can talk about that later, is literally one of the first things I look at is the organic conversion rate, okay? And the PPC conversion rate. I want to see if this product converts well. If a product converts well, usually there's a ton you can do with a product. If a product doesn't convert well, you try to do, you will always struggle having phenomenal results, okay? Yes. Anyway, so back to that. So a question that I like to ask sometimes sellers, I like to tease them. Let's say somebody, even let's say a new seller calls me up, hi, and I get that a couple times a week. I'm launching a new product. It doesn't sell. What I like to ask back usually is, oh, interesting. Tell me why somebody should buy a product. You're launching a product. It has this beautiful blue line that says you can be the first one to review this product. You have tons of competition surrounded that have thousands. Right now, you have even products with hundreds of thousands of reviews, right? Tell me why in the world somebody should buy your product, okay? So back in the days, you could say, I have a nice listing. Look, it's 2022. Most Amazon sellers came a long way. The listings across Amazon, again, in most categories are pretty much off the par. There's beautiful listings, right? Why in the world should somebody buy your product when you have no reviews or just 5 or 10 reviews when everybody around your product has much more, okay? So usually the answer is like this. First of all, we could talk about having a better product, but that's a given, having a better product. But let's be honest, most sellers, it's hard to say most. A lot of sellers don't necessarily have a better product, right? Some are honest about it, some aren't. But some are like, yeah, I just have another product. I made a nice listing. No, it's not better than the competition. So one of the most important things when you're launching a product is price, okay? That's the biggest incentive you can give for somebody to take a shot on your product versus the competition. So you mentioned, let's go $30 product, right? Let's say the market runs between $30 and $40, but a lot of sellers sell the product for $30, try to come in at $25, okay? Come in cheaper. That will help your conversion rate and people will take the risk. People think, look, after all, it's Amazon, there's free returns, it's $5 cheaper and it has to look also important. It's not either or. You have to have a beautiful listing, right? The customer should feel as if he's buying a legitimate product, beautiful main image, infographics, and you know, branding better than me, right? It should look like a product that they would take off of a retail store and give them the incentive of having a good price. So it's so simple, but that's our launch strategy. Give a good price, and then we go aggressive on PPC. What we like to do is, again, I don't want to go into the whole PPC strategy. I'm not sure if you want to go that nitty gritty, but overall, the main thing is we take our top 5 or 10 keywords and put them into a separate campaign. Sometimes we'll make even single keyword campaigns with the top 5 or 10 keywords. Sometimes we'll just put it into one campaign. And the point is your top 10 keywords should be separated and go extremely aggressive on those keywords. Increase the top of search percent by 100% to 200%. So that's a very important thing that many sellers don't get. And I see that a lot when we order accounts. Top of search.
Okay. So 1 second. So just on the pricing strategy. So even like you're suggesting that even the person maybe is going below break-even point, because like you said, like in the past, you've given away full sale products, even if you blow cost, that's a strategy too. And what type of span would you say is, how long is usually a launch phase? Like at which point are we slowly but surely going back to the ideal pricing?
Okay. So that's a great question. But first, let me finish my first one that I was saying. They go after the 5 top 10 keywords. To increase top of search. Top of search is basically the top spots that you have on PPC. On mobile is 4 spots. On desktop is 2 spots. Though on the opposite. On desktop is 4 spots. On mobile is 2 spots. Those are top of search. Now, top of search converts way better than rest of search. The reason probably is simple, because all those lazy people that don't want to scroll, they search, they see the first product that pops up and they buy it, right? So what you gain from being aggressive on top of search is that it increases your conversion rate. And I'm talking about a huge difference. The difference sometimes to be even 3-4 times better conversion rate than rest of search or different placements. So if you have top of search, you increase your conversion rate just because you're top of search and you've given a lower price than the competition. So you're incentivizing customers to buy your product. And that's a very, very effective launch strategy that works, period. It works. It's so simple, but it works. Now, a good question, which we get a lot. When would you say that I'm out of the launch phase, right? In other words, when should I start focusing on profit, right? So really, there's no timeline. The most important thing is, what's your goal with this product? Where do you want to go? And are we on the way? So for example, let's say you're bringing in a product. Your goal is really, but not unrealistically. Let's say realistically, you want to get 100 sales a day, right? If we are at 10 sales a day, 12 sales a day, but not even close to that number, right? And if you're not ranked, by the way, I forgot one important thing. In your launch strategy, make sure to track your organic keywords, right? If you use Helium 10 or there's many other tools, whatever you use, make sure that you're tracking your organic keywords to see the progress, track and monitor the progress of those keywords and to see if you have more organic ranking and organic visibility. So again, the time when you're still considered in the launch phase, it's as long as you're going, as you're not close to your goal, right? So let's say the goal is 100 product, 100 units a day, you're still at 12, you're not ranking that much. That means you still have to go aggressive on price and PPC. And sometimes, yeah, maybe if it doesn't work and the product doesn't convert, go down the price even more. That's the best lever you can pull. Again, besides the obvious of having a beautiful listing, a beautiful main image, which is obvious. I'm talking about after the fact that everything is the most perfect, the price is the main lever you can pull. So once you start to get closer to your goal, you see, okay, now I have 30 sales, 40 sales a day, and you see your organic ranking constantly improves, that's when you can start to slow down a little bit on PPC. So I like to give a good idea of that is when you start to see that 50% of your sales already come from organic, I would say that's a good tipping point to have in mind. Okay, if 50% of my sales come from organic, that means that, yes, that not all of the sales rely on PPC. We can start to slow down PPC and focusing a little more on profitability. But again, if it's 50-50 and you just have 10 sales, 5 come from organic, 5 from PPC, your goal is 100, you're obviously not out of the launch phase. Mm-hmm. That's basically how I look at it.
Okay, so you're saying, and at which point would you say that this launch did not work as planned? Like is like you mentioned now, the 50, let's say 50-50, but what would you say is a typical launch? When, about what day do you want to be there? Is it 60 days, 90 days, or is it more than that?
Okay, so that's also a great question. And I'll tell you how I look at it. So first of all, it's even 90 days. If you see constant incremental improvement, that means it's going in the right direction, right? So that's number one, there's no exact timeline. Because even after 60 days, if you see it, the conversion gets better and better and better, your organic rank gets better and better and better, that means it's going in the right direction. But when do you say, okay, this is a failed product and we need to move on? So what I like to say like this, if nothing, so right now the product, let's say, doesn't convert well, right? It has a very low conversion rate. If you don't expect anything to change, then the conversion rate will never get better. So meaning to say like this, so let's say the conversion right now is low. So let's say if we will make an assumption and say, okay, of course your conversion rate is low because you have 5 reviews. Let's wait until we have 50 reviews or 100 reviews. That's when the conversion might become way better. So there's a point. Let's wait. Let's see how the product will perform once you have more reviews, right? So the point is, you're not giving up on the product because you're expecting something to become better on the listing. And it makes sense to wait and see, okay, so when that happens, let's see how the product converts then, right? Or another example will be, let's say, okay, the listing doesn't convert. Let's redo our entire listing. Let's make the listing even better. Let's redo the images. Okay, so it makes sense that let's wait until we give up on the product because we want to try something else and see if we can improve the conversion rate, okay? But if you have exhausted all of your options, right now the product doesn't work. You can't see what will happen. Like, there's nothing you can look out for and say, okay, if we do this, then it will become better. Then if you're at a point where you've exhausted everything, you don't expect to do anything to the product that will make it better, then it's a failed launch. Make sense that I explained it clear enough?
Absolutely. So now I want to speak about another topic, which is sometimes you can see a great product. It was onto a great start. And then he started slowly but surely going up the price. And then all of a sudden it ranked organically well. Everything that you just spoke was perfectly picture perfect. And then slowly but surely, one reason or another, it stopped. You're not seeing the amount of sales. Like when you get that question, what is the immediate steps that you would take, look or analyze? Which pieces would you analyze to see, is this maybe because you had the honeymoon period and therefore you ranked, but as soon as things settle down, the competition is back and in sync with you, or again, has better ranking, better pricing. And then what would you analyze in that situation to see, is this worthwhile fighting the way back?
Okay. It's a beautiful question. I love the question. Okay. So internally, we have a huge checklist, what we look. So I won't go through everything, but the first thing that I like to look at is it, and that's usually like that opens up your mind. Okay. And many people don't know. Like, I get this question a lot. My sales drop, what's going on? So the number one thing, let's analyze if it's a traffic issue or if it's a conversion issue, okay? Beautiful. So what we like to do is to become a little bit more technical. We're going to the business reports and we try to look, and we have actually also a tool internally that we can look day over day. In the business reports, you can't look day over day on a product. You have to open a lot of tabs. But let's say even that, let's say business reports, open up, let's say, two tabs. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. And look at the sessions, which are the traffic, and the unit session percentage, which is the conversion rate. So first identify the day that the decrease of sales happened, the drop in sales happened, right? And you can do that also on Keepa or Helium 10, check the BSR, see when your sales started to drop. Okay, now, the day that you see that your sales started to drop, see, was it a drop in sessions, a drop in traffic, or a drop in conversion? So if it's a drop in traffic, that means it's probably, so first of all, by the way, the one step before that, if your sales drop, first thing is look at your BSR, at your bestseller rank, okay? If the bestseller rank didn't change, that means that you still have a market share that you used to have. Maybe it's a slow day or a slow week for your category, okay? But let's assume the BSR dropped, like increased, right? So your competitors are still doing good and you're not, right? So the first thing is traffic or conversion. So if it's, you see that you started to drop in sessions, that usually means that you lost the organic position for your top keywords, okay? That's why we always like to track, especially for like hero products, we like to always track your top organic keywords. So right now with the comment, okay, so let's see on this date, on November 1st, I see you had a drop in sessions. Let's go into Helium 10. Let's check on which one of those keywords you lost organic rank. Okay, so let's say we identify, oh, see two of these main keywords you lost organic rank. Okay, let's go create a campaign separate for these keywords and let's try to go aggressive on PPC and gain back the organic rank. Okay, that's if the issue is traffic. Now let's assume the traffic stayed the same and you see the conversion rate drop. And by the way, usually after the conversion rate drops, a drop in sessions will also follow. Okay, because when you lose conversion rate usually, you also lose organic ranking and traffic. But if you see that the conversion rate was before the traffic drama, that means it's a conversion issue. Now start to troubleshoot. So there's so many things you can troubleshoot for, which is obvious. The obvious is pricing, negative reviews. One big thing is if you went from a 4.5-star to a 4-star on Amazon. On Amazon, if you have 4.3 stars, you have the like a half of the 5th star, okay? But if it's 4.2, you it's just 4 stars, and that affects a lot, okay? Because most products on Amazon have a 4.5 rating. So try to see, is there a new competitor that came in cheaper? The point is, if it's a conversion issue, there's a ton of things you need to check and see what happened that your conversion rate might have dropped. Now, I'll tell you one thing that we had in the past, I would say half a year, which happened a lot, okay? So we basically saw a product conversion rate sliced to half, okay? We literally couldn't identify what is going on. We see that everything on the page, nothing changed, reviews, price, no obvious competitor. So what we noticed is like this, that Amazon, like in the past, I don't know, year or whatever, like Amazon really started to focus more on their same day shipping, okay? And one day shipping. So what happens is that if you're not well stocked in all the warehouses around the country, Amazon will, so let's say if you're in New York, right? If you don't have a lot of, if you're the warehouses in New York are not well stocked with your product, then your product won't be available for 1 or 2 day shipping, okay? So what happens is two things. Number one, your conversion rate drops dramatically in the region where your product is not available for 1 or 2 day shipping, because most people want 1 or 2 day shipping. And you can see that in the search query performance report. Not to get too technical, there's a report. You can see most of the sales of most products have one go to product that have 1 or 2 day shipping. So your conversion rate drops dramatically. And number two, Amazon also prioritizes in the search results products that have 1 or 2 day shipping. So we are in New York, okay? So we searched a product and we saw that, okay, it still has 1 or 2 day shipping available. But then we started searching. We went in incognito and we searched from zip codes from Texas or California, and we saw, okay, wow, look over there, the product is has 5 day shipping or 7 day shipping, okay? And that affects the conversion rate a lot. So there's nothing really you can do besides sending always enough inventory to Amazon. But that's something which we really couldn't figure out a certain products what happened. And that was something that we finally cracked the code and saw that many times when you see like a sudden drop in sales of the product,
because of that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But,
now that's
but that's something that you can't even control other than control. Always being right. Other than trying to have enough stock. And obviously now with limitations on stock that Amazon is crazy. Everybody's freaking out on that.
He's saying right now, yeah.
I want to ask you, you know, we're getting late on time. I want to ask you two more questions. One is just more of a quick question, which is there's a lot of movement into the influencer outside traffic as part of a launch strategy or ongoing traffic strategy. And what is your take and how do you correlate that with PPC as well?
Okay. It's a great question. I get the question a lot. Actually, I was last week at the Unboxed show. So Amazon also have like their Amazon influencer program, which is a beta program where they also have a lot of influencers where you will be able to give them products to promote your product. I'll tell you the truth. I don't have a very strong opinion. I have not seen that many brands be successful with it. I think the influencer marketing thing is it's a hit or miss. So first of all, if it's the type of product that has a lot of influencers that can promote it, that's one thing. But many products that our clients sell and many people sell are boring, right? They're just everyday products and an influencer can promote, like, let's look at it, right? It's a paper card. An influencer can promote it, okay? So many people sell very boring products and they're definitely not the right fit for an influencer. Definitely beauty products, baby products, you know, can be great with influencers. It's not my specialty. I'm actually looking for, if anybody has a great agency that I can refer people to, I would love to see that. But another great strategy, which we started to implement and test, is also external traffic from Google, which is also, I would say, a little trendy. A lot of people do it. And that's also something that it either works or it doesn't. So we've tried it. For some brands, it can help organic ranking. For some brands, it won't. It's about 100% thing that it'll work.
Got it. Last and final question, which is if a friend of yours comes over and asks, you know, is there still opportunity to launch a business or a private label brand? And my distribution channel, my first channel would be Amazon.
Okay, great question. I love it. I'm trying to make it short. Okay. So first of all, it depends. So I get probably a few phone calls a week from people we're launching a new brand on Amazon. We want to use you for PPC. So usually I start to ask them questions. And in most cases, I won't take them on as a client. The reason being is most people that are starting out on Amazon right now, they don't know what they're into. They don't have the real deep pockets in order to launch a successful brand on Amazon. So I don't want to be, so first of all, in order for me to take on a brand, I really need to be convinced that we can make it successful. Otherwise, I'm not comfortable spending, you know, different people's money, if even though he wants to, but if I'm not convinced that we can make it, that he has the real chance to be successful, I can't take him on as a client. So most of these people, I won't take on. But many people, talk to them, I ask them the background, and some of these people are, you know, they have deep pockets, either they have a father or somebody else in the family or an investor that really has the money in order to make it successful and to really invest in it. So these are the type of people that I will take on. So first of all, so if somebody, let's say, without deep pockets, asks me the question, somebody that doesn't have a lot of money to spend on PPC to buy the course, to buy goods, I would say like this. There are tons of brands that are not on Amazon yet, okay? Meaning to say brands that are either retail brands, wholesale brands that are in stores, and they have no presence on Amazon. So advice that I give to friends, go and you will find, if you're looking good enough, you'll find, look for brands that are not on Amazon and make a deal with them. Whichever the deal is, 50-50 profit, or I don't care, worry that out with your accountant, business consultant, attorney, I don't care. The point is, you come with Amazon experience and let them have the goods, okay? So the benefit of doing it this way is two things. Number one, there's no cost of goods, right? These people have already the brand, they have the goods, they have a warehouse. So you need to invest thousands of dollars in cost of goods. And even though worst case scenario, it doesn't sell on Amazon, you can always bring it back. They would sell it either in the store or the other channels where they usually sell it. So that's one thing. And also, if you have tons of products to choose from, you can start to list, let's say 10 or 15 products, send in, let's say 100 units of each, and you can see which product picks up and double down on those products that gain momentum and right away do other products that didn't pick up. I think this is a win-win, and you have basically, you don't have the risk of buying tons, thousands of dollars in goods. Yeah, that's my
guess. Got it. So there's, if you do it well and if you make your research and you find out, it's still a viable option on making money as heading into Q4 or eventually heading into 2023.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to tell you this, and always think about it. I remember before COVID, that was also the time where many of these loopholes started to, you know, like that you couldn't do it anymore. A lot of people whined on the groups. Oh, Amazon used to be way better, the good old days, whatever. Then COVID hit. Okay. I know people that launched brands a few years ago and they sold it for tens of millions to aggregators. I'm convinced as we speak, somebody's starting the brand on Amazon, and in a few years from now, he will sell for $50 million. I'm 100% convinced that's happened. Okay. So the point is, yes.
Yeah, there's opportunity.
100% opportunity. 100% people will start today when you say it's not possible. In 5 years from now, you'll say, oh, where was I 5 years ago? Right now, it's 5 years ago. So that's that. And Q4, honestly, I mean, I'm excited for Q4. I am afraid it's not going to be the best Q4. And we've seen it right away, right now as well. We compared a lot of the ranks last year and this year in the toys and games category. And so let's say something has a rank of 1,000. 1,000 rank this year has less sales than 1,000 rank last year. Okay. So people should be, I know that people are expecting it. I was actually in the Unbox, Amazon had their economist actually speak to the agencies. And they also said they don't know what's happening, but they definitely see the contraction of people buying goods. So it's not going to be Q4 like last year. But if you know what you're doing, if you're running your ship well, you will thrive and survive.
Great. How could people find out more about you, or how can we reach you?
People can reach us on our website, igppc.com.
Great. For the links, resources mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes at www.letstalkexits.com/podcast, where we'll link to Isaac's website so you could find out more and speak to this person. As you saw from this episode, there's a lot of knowledge there. And regardless if he's going to end up taking you as a client or not, you're going to add a lot of free advice. Let's close with the four rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, a book that changed your life.
A book that changed my life. One book, one specific book, or I can name a few books.
Let's go for one.
I can't remember the exact name of the book, but it was a book on Warren Buffett.
Yeah, documentary.
Yeah. I look cool. I don't remember, but yeah.
Got it.
And Elon Musk, both of them. Yeah, so
absolutely. So you follow some of those celebrities, I guess.
Celebrities? I like to see how successful people grinded and grinded and grinded and made it. Yes.
Got it. Number two, a piece of advice you got that you never forget.
Be persistent and consistent, and you will win.
Absolutely. Number three, anything you could wish you could go back and do differently?
Not really, honestly.
I love it. We have at least 50% of our guests are saying nope. Like, so we're good. And last and final question, what's still on your bucket list to achieve?
From a business perspective?
You could go business, yeah.
Let's go business perspective, sure. Yeah. Personal, there's a lot, right? But business perspective, we're looking to grow. And I stole the motto from Jeff Bezos. We're looking to be the most customer-obsessed Amazon PPC agency. And that has been what we've been until now. And we're looking to grow that. And we're not looking to slow down. I'm not looking to, always looking to improve the quality of our service. That's our goal for now.
Love it. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us. I know your time is valuable. That is why in our layman for listeners, we'll forever be grateful for sharing some of your time with us today. It's been a blast.
Many thanks so much. It was a pleasure and a lot of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Let's Talk Exits podcast. If you're ready to sell, or if you'd like to set yourself up for the best possible sale in the future, then don't be a stranger. Go to letstalkexits.com/speak to schedule a strategy call with Manny himself. Not only will he give you unbiased, top quality advice, but he'll connect you with the best strategic aggregators for your brand. As always, please let us know if you found this episode helpful by leaving a review, and continue to send in all your Amazon and e-commerce exit related questions to letstalkexits.com.